Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Well, I'm to introduce somebody that I barely know, which is interesting. But I do know this. I know the work that the people that she represents do on the streets, the street chaplains. And I love it. So on the basis of that and the fact that I wasn't here the last time that Pastor D was here, but you know who she is, I'm just going to call her up now and we'll see what the Lord has to say through her. But I feel to pray for you before we start. It'll be quick. Thank you for being patient, people. Heavenly Father, oh dear. I was going to say that you can speak through a donkey, but I'm not comparing you, Dee, to a donkey. I'm just saying, Lord, you do what you need to do through whomever you need to do it through, so that this congregation will hear what you have to say. Bless the words of her mouth, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eeyore. Oh, my goodness. I've never had an introduction like that. That's really good. Thanks, Lance. It's great to be back here in Forestfield. Who was here last time I was here? Let me see. Oh, a lot of you. I better not share any of the same stories then, hey? Well, it's really good to be back. As I sat out in the car park before I came in, I was looking at what is happening in this church spiritually. And I saw very clearly the candlestick of the Lord in here, which is the presence of the Lord burning very powerfully. Then I saw the angel of the Lord, which has been sent here, the angel of this church. And if you've got a problem with that, go and read the book of Revelation. Each church has an angel, right? And so the angel that has been sent to this church is so excited. So excited. And I am too. Because when I sat in that car park, I saw these structures around your church. And I said, oh, are you dismantling? He said, no, no, there's nothing to dismantle. This church has rock solid foundations. I mean rock solid foundations. He said, I'm enlarging. I'm enlarging. What has been done in this church is just so of the Lord. Your foundations are strong. You have nothing to worry about. Watch as the Lord does something new and different. So as things are different and you see the structures, that is so that the Lord can enlarge this place. There's nothing being dismantled. The Lord says, my hand is upon this church like never before, and you will see the glory of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm so excited for what's going to happen in this church. You are going to see the greatest outpouring. And Lance, do you say Lance or Lance? What do you all call him?
Lance.
Lance. Lance, we're not going to fight over this. This gentleman at the front, whatever you call him, read out a scripture when we began, and if the guys at the back are really clever, I'd ask them to bring up, this has got nothing to do with my message, but you brought this scripture from Isaiah 54. You know this scripture well. Isaiah 54 verse 17. But what I want to do is read the scripture before it. Not yet. I haven't got my glasses with me, so that's why it's taking me a while. Isaiah 54. Can you put the scripture up before it? Lance read out, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which raises against judgment against you shall be condemned. I believe there was a word from the Lord for this church. what you were discerning was a word from the Lord for this church. But let's look at the verse before it. See, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges that weapon. The Lord created the blacksmith, and that's what he's doing right now, is that your church, you, are in the hand of the Lord. And he is, you feel like you're being a bit pressured and thumped and so forth, but that is the blacksmith at work. And what comes out of that? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So right now, as this church is going through just a few small changes, do not doubt for a second that the hand of the Lord is not upon this church. His hand is upon this Lord, this church more than ever. And you are in the hand of the blacksmith. And he is preparing a bride. Pure, without blemish. A pure and spotless bride. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So you need to be excited for what is coming. You have nothing to fear. You're in good hands. Last time I was here, I prayed for Alan. And I just feel now to pray for Lance. And I don't know how many are in your eldership. How many in your eldership? Six. How many of the elders are here today? One, two, three. Four. Five of the elders are here. Can you guys just quickly, really, really quickly come to the front? Really quickly. I love that quick. Yeah. The Lord said to me when I prayed for you last time, I only prayed for half of you. So I'm really sad that your wife's not here. Is she here?
No.
Okay. Stand together. And so there's one missing, is there? Okay. She is the rose amongst the thorns, but these are a good looking group. Can I ask church in all sincerity to reach out to these men? Wonderful Saviour. Father, I thank you for what you are doing in this place. I thank you, my Lord, that you are creating Hillside to be a vessel of your glory. Father, I thank you that you have positioned this church so strategically. And I thank you, my Lord, that from the north, the south, the east and the west, here comes the glory of the Lord. You are going to see a great outpouring in this church, but you need to bond together like never before. For where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Unite, unite, unite. The Lord says, my hand is upon this church. My hand is upon these elders. They were selected for such a time as this. Each one of them has strategic and different giftings. Each one of them is going to be empowered with wisdom and understanding and revelation for such a time as this. And this church is at the center of their heart, as Christ is the cornerstone, that you will lead these men. And Kay, Father, thank you for Kay. Thank you for the anointing she carries. Father, I pray, Lord, that each one that you will give them, Father, the blueprint from heaven for this church, a new beginning. Father, nothing needs to change in their foundations. They are rock solid, but as you expand and enlarge the tent pegs, as you do some realigning and repositioning, as you do some appointing, my Lord, it will be so confirmed through these men, but more so, Lord, through the Word of God. Father, we do nothing without the Word of God. And Lance, you need to know that that word that you brought this morning about that scripture is just such a small part of the prophetic that the Lord wants you to step into. A man of great authority. I know you're a man of numbers, but the Lord says you're going to have to be signing off some things that you're going to have to take a step of faith into, and that is going to stretch you in itself. But you are so ready for this. The Lord says all these years I've been preparing you. And as you men step up and take leadership
leadership and ownership right now. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to bring the people around you. Don't be afraid of the ones that are going to walk away at this time, because it is their loss, because they are going to miss out on the greatest outpouring this church has ever seen. We are going to see miracles. You're going to see signs and wonders. You are going to see the dead raised spiritually and naturally. You are going to see cancers dropped off. You are going to see, you are going to see the most incredible things. Blind eyes open, deaf mouths open, the ears become unblocked and hear. So, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in this church. I thank you for such a time as this. Hillside is going to see the glory of the Lord. So get ready. I just need to see so many more of you, the Lord says, at the early morning prayer meetings. Some of you have got up early to watch the soccer, so you can get up early and come to the early morning prayer meetings. Focus on the things of the Lord right now, and you will see. You will see the glory of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you for each one of these men that you have positioned in this church, in this place of leadership. Father, I pray that your hand will rest upon them, and, Father, you will equip each one with the blueprint from heaven. And, Lord, you will dot the I's and you will cross the T's, and they will know that they know that they know that this is the way forward for Hillside Church. So I pray for each one of them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. I need to pray for this young man here. Come here. Do you all know this guy? Isn't he good looking? Turn around. So much like his mum. Sorry. Yeah. Do you know, I was standing in worship and I did a little circle around and had a look what was going on in the spirit realm. And you know what leapt out at me? Was this young man worshipping. He was worshipping. Sincerely worshipping. And then the Lord says, look at his spirit man. And I just see Isaac, yes, you are a son of promise, but I see that you are like an arrow. You are so sharp in the spirit realm already. How old are you?
12.
Oh, he's 12. He's 12. That's when we read about the Lord Jesus, isn't he? What was he doing at 12? Isaac, you need to know the hand of the Lord is upon you. From an early age, you were speaking and sharing the oracles of the word of God. I see you moving so sharply in words of knowledge. I see you laying hands on the sick and they will recover. I see that this message today about the gift of faith has got you written all over it, because Isaac, you have the gift of faith. You will know what it is. In fact, you do know what it is to lay hands on the sick already. But the Lord says, I'm going to make you bold, bold, bold. Like Joshua, you will go forward so bold, so brave, so courageous that you will not be worried about what people will say. You will lay hands. I'm going to give you words for this church even. Whoa, that's very bold. Father, I thank you that as you give him words for this church that will be backed up with scripture, people will be astounded, but they will know that this young man has heard from Yahweh himself. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon him. Father, I thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge for this young man. I thank you, my Lord, that he will move so sharply in the prophetic. I thank you, my Lord, that his soft and compliant heart adores you, absolutely adores you. Lord, that he is a worshiper. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon him in Jesus' wonderful, glorious name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Isaac. Okay, we haven't got much time. Lance said I could go till 12, so I'm a bit happy about that. Okay. Who's got their Bible? Yeah. So, as I said, as I walked in the church, I saw the candlestick of the Lord burning brightly. And I know that you guys have been looking at the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Have you been stepping out in them? Maybe 2. Who was here for the prophetic workshop we did? A few of you. Have you been stepping out in it? That was probably about half said yes. So let's look at today the gift of faith. I love the gift of faith. It is such a powerful end times gift. And I'm telling you, Hillside, that when the glory of the Lord rests upon his people, which is now, he says, arise and shine, arise and shine, for the glory rises upon you. You are going to see the mightiest miracles. You are going to operate in words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And it is that it's going to draw people in. They're going to draw people in. Okay, 9 gifts of the Spirit, the revelation gifts, the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the power gifts, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of faith, and the vocal gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation and tongues and prophecy. Many say the gift of faith is the best gift to have. I think they're all incredible. You know, they're all used to bring glory and honor to the King of Kings. Nothing to do with glory and honor to anyone here. Glory and honor to the King of Kings. Amen. So the gifts are without repentance. We know that. And we know that the gifts are given from a very young age. We know that Zechariah prophesied over John the Baptist in Luke 1:76, and he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God." And he prophesied this when John the Baptist was 8 days of age. That's why I'm such a big believer in dedicating our children. Dedicate them and train them in the way that they should go. Speak into existence their prophetic giftings. Amen. So looking at the gift of faith, we also know that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of faith is so incredibly different to the gift of faith. And I know that's really quite confusing, but we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at the gift of faith compared to the fruit of faith. And by the end of it, I'm sure that you'll be 100% aware of when you are stepping into the gift of faith. When I first stepped into it, and to be honest with you, it's only happened for me a couple of times. It just changes everything. But what I didn't understand at the time is why was the gift of faith there for that particular season and then I stepped out of it again? Well, it's the same way that, you know, as we live and breathe and have our being, if you are going to prophesy in a shopping centre, you're not going to go home and start prophesying to your dishes, are you? I'd love to be able to prophesy. Housework, you shall be done in Jesus' name. It doesn't work like that. The gift of faith, it's a powerful gift, but it comes as the Lord declares it to happen. We cannot claim it and grab it and all that sort of stuff. The Lord decrees when the gift of faith will be in action. Okay? You know, 1 Corinthians 14 says, "I would rather that you all prophesy," but we are not all prophets, are we? He would like us all to step out in faith. But we won't all have the gift of faith at all times. Is it available to all of us? Yes, I believe it is. Do we walk in it every single day? Unfortunately not. So let's just quickly pray. Wonderful Saviour. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this incredible church. I thank you for what you are doing in this church. I'm excited, Lord, and I feel your excitement for this church. But Father, I pray that today that every word will be Holy Spirit inspired. I pray, Lord, that every second and every minute you will be glorified and honored. And we pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. So the fruit or characteristics of the fruit when you look at it from the Greek and the Hebrew, it always speaks about character. It speaks about character. So when I look at faithfulness or full of faith in the Bible, I can't help but think of the centurion. You remember the centurion? And when we think of the centurion, I said, Lord, did he have the gift of faith? And he said, no. He was faithful and he was full of faith, but he didn't have the gift of faith. He was trained. The centurions are trained, as you know, and they go into battle and they are very mighty, powerful men. He was a Gentile. He was a man of the law. He was trained to obey, to respect and understand authority. But when the centurion said to him, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come against anything that opposes this word today. Father, for every witchcraft incantation, every Jezebelic curse against this church, in the name of Jesus, we break your power, we break your dominion. In the name of Jesus, touch not the Lord's anointed. Father, I draw the bloodline of Jesus around this church yet again. We pray this in Jesus' name. The centurion's character was such that he understood all authority. And so when Jesus said, go, he knew instantly that his servant would be healed. That was not the gift of faith. That was his character and him being faithful that he understood the authority. Okay? Oh, to have his faith. Jesus said, you know, he marveled at the faith of the centurion. And the one and only time that Jesus used that word marvel was actually at people's lack of faith in Nazareth. So one and only time he spoke about and was marveled at somebody's faith. So the centurion had great faith, but it was his character to believe the sovereignty of the word, and it was done. It was not the gift of faith. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 17:6. Luke 17:6. Yes, I'm old. I love my Bible. Oops. All everything that falls out of it. I don't use my phone because I've been in places when all of a sudden your phone doesn't work. So don't forget your Bible. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I'm just wondering if there's anyone here that has said to a tree to be uprooted and be planted in a sea, and it has obeyed you. Me neither. Do you know, I can't even get my head around that scripture until I studied this today. Not today, this week. If you say to a tree, be uprooted and plant into the ocean. How? That doesn't even make sense to me. But it does. And the Lord explained it to me. And we're going to look at that. Now, do you remember the last time I was here and I shared with you about the young man that I went and saw in Royal Perth Hospital? Sorry, I'm just going to repeat one story because it's relevant. In July 2021, I had been asked to go visit a young man in hospital. A fellow pastor had said to me it was his nephew. This young man had copped a machete in the head. He was in Royal Perth intensive care. The doctors said his brain was dead and they wanted to turn off the machine. Tragic, absolutely tragic. A young man in his 20s. And so I got asked to go and pray with his mum and pray for this young man. So as we got to the hospital, the whole intensive care of Royal Perth was full with his family. I'm telling you, nobody does family as well as the Indigenous. They're incredible people and their love for family. So we're standing there, and I've got to be honest with you, because we're family, right? My knees were knocking. I went in there in faith because I was being faithful by going in and praying for this young man to be healed. But honestly, I didn't have any expectation because, like you, I've prayed for people previously and they've died. I've prayed for other people and I've seen them gloriously healed. So I didn't know how this would go. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've all been there, right? So I went in there and with his mum, and we're in intensive care, and the nurse was sitting in the room because they always are in intensive care. And we started to pray for this young man, and no different to other, you know, times I've been to the hospital and prayed. And as we started to pray, he started to twitch. And the nurse said to me, "It's a natural reflex. That's what bodies do when they're just lying there." Okay. Started to pray again. Upsets this young man. He sat upright from the intensive care bed. Bells and whistles are going on. I don't know who was more shocked, the nurse, the mum, or me. This young man, he sat up, bolt right. Now, my faith soaring out of me. And that was incredible. And this young man, I see him at church on Sundays now, like the Lord healed him. But that too was not the gift of faith. I know you're probably thinking, why is that not the gift of faith? God raised him from the dead. That's right. God did an incredible miracle. It was fantastic. And I see this young man now and I'm just filled with joy. But that was not the gift of faith. Because I went in there not knowing how it was going to end. So just recently, in the last week actually, my best friend calls me and she says, "Derek," remember that name? Say to the person next to you, "Derek." Turn to the person you ignored and say, "Derek." Derek. She said Derek had a sinus infection. No big deal, right? Derek was on antibiotics. No big deal. Derek all of a sudden was laying on the floor with such a headache that he couldn't open his eyes. And I'm thinking, migraine, no big deal. Suddenly, Derek didn't know who he was, where he was, or who was this woman who had been married to for 30 years was. So, very, very sudden. She calls an ambulance. They take Derek off to hospital. And because he was so vague and so frightened, because he didn't know who he was or where he was, they had to sedate Derek. And Derek ended up in intensive care, very, very unwell. So she rings me. "I need you to come to Joondalup Hospital." Now, like you, I live south of the river, so I get on the freeway and I start driving. And as I'm driving down that freeway, the Lord said to me, "I'm going to heal Derek." Oh, okay. He says, "I'm going to heal Derek." Oh, so excited. I was so excited. I got to that hospital, and before they'd let me into intensive care, I had to sit with Sam and Dr. whatever his name is. But for the rest of this story, I'm going to call him Dr. Happy, okay? Because I'm prophesying his future. So we're in this meeting with Dr. Happy. Now, bear in mind, Derek's a man in his 40s, okay? So he's not terribly old. And Dr. Happy says, "We very rarely see cases like this. He has viral encephalitis. He says he will never fully recover. He says he'll make partial recovery over the next 6 months, but he'll never fully recover." Then he puts the icing on the cake. He goes, "I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy." Clearly, Dr. Happy had missed the day when they were teaching about bedside manner. Anyway, my friend's sitting next to me crying. This is her life partner. They've been married for 30 years. And the spirit within me rose up because I know that I know that I know. The Lord said to me in the car, "I'm going to heal Derek." So I walk into intensive care. It's looking all too familiar at this stage. All these wires, the nurse sitting down there. And as I mentioned to you, he was sedated.
So I didn't go in there and, you know, jump up and down and scream and holler and cry. I walked in there with a knowing, with such a supernatural knowing that God was going to heal him. And I walked up to him and he was sedated. And I lay my hands on him and I said, Derek, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed and whole. Every one of the 39 stripes on our Lord and Savior's back is bringing healing to your life forevermore. Amen. I walked out. Didn't see any change. I drove home. I get a phone call the next morning from Sam. That's my friend. She had received a phone call from Dr. Happy. And Dr. Happy goes, Dr. Happy here, got somebody I'd like you to speak to. She's thinking, oh no, it's another one of his doctor friends confirming the prognosis. All of a sudden it goes quiet. Her husband Derek comes on the phone, completely pain-free, complete sound mind, completely 100% healed. That is the gift of faith. I had zero doubt. I had zero anything in my mind that did not believe 100% that this man was going to be healed. And that is the difference between being faithful and full of faith and the gift of faith. Because when you know that you know that you know that only our Heavenly Father can do this, and when he tells you he's going to do it, you have zero doubt that it's going to happen. And I just know that gift is going to increase in this church. I just know it. I just see it for you guys, the gift of faith, that you'll have zero doubt. When the word of the Lord comes, it removes any doubt. And just 100% belief. Who believes it? Who's ready for that? I'm ready to see that here in Forest Field. I'm so excited for you guys and what's going to happen here. Of course, I've gone way off my notes. So the next day, of course, I wanted to see Derek for myself, drive up the freeway again. I walk in there. He's sitting there, happy, smiling, having a cup of tea. And it was so good just to chat with him. And so I'm like, where's Dr. Happy? And unfortunately, Dr. Happy wasn't available to chat at that time. But it didn't matter. Because he said to Sam, the wife, I've never seen anything like this before. He'd never seen that. He's going to have to get used to it. He's going to get used to it because I'm telling you, the Lord's going to use his end times church to move in gifts, and signs and wonders will follow. And I believe not only are we going to see intensive care empty, we're going to see the mental health wards empty in Jesus' name. I believe it. I truly believe it. I'm not just saying this. I believe it with all my heart. And when you have that undeniable doubt and you step out in faith with that zero doubt, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? That's the gift of faith. You see, the gift of faith is a mustard seed of God's faith. Let me say that again. It is a mustard seed of God's faith that is imparted sovereignly and supernaturally. We don't claim it. God gives it. And let's look at that in scriptures. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11. Whoa, we're running out of time. Thanks. Who said that? Thank you. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we know in that chapter previously, his disciples had seen the Lord Jesus curse the fig tree, and they were absolutely astounded that very quickly this tree had curled up and died. That's nothing. You should see my garden. I can make things curl up and die really quickly too. Sorry. But in that scripture, the Lord Jesus actually explains the gift of faith so perfectly. Where it says, have faith in God. When you look at it in the Greek, it actually does say, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. The real meaning when you read it says, have the faith of God. And so if you have God's faith, the words you speak will be as effective as the Lord himself spoke them. He spoke the mountains into existence. So therefore, when you have his faith, you can speak to them mountains and cast them into the sea, if you so desired. Do you see that? He says it so clearly. It's not your faith, it's his when you're operating in the gift of faith. It's a whole new dimension than being faithful or full of faith, because you are stepping out in God's faith. Amen? I've never spoken to a mountain and cast it into the sea. I just want you to know that. But the gift of faith is having God's faith given to you for a certain situation, for a specific task. And while you are completing that task, you can literally move a mountain in the same way God spoke the mountain into existence. It is having zero doubt in a situation. And I can tell you, I've walked with great heroes of faith over the years, and I can clearly and have clearly seen the gift of faith in action and those that are walking in faith. Now, the Lord wants us to walk in faith every single day. Be so faithful and be so full of faith that it is overflowing and it is contagious to those around us. But the gift of faith, when you have that mustard seed, because it's all about quality and not quantity. When it's the Lord's faith, it is perfect. It is complete. It is perfection in every way. Now, if you have any fear or doubt, that is not the gift of faith. Okay? So keep that in mind. As with all spiritual gifts, it ties in beautifully with all the other gifts. You know, I'm driving up that freeway and I had that word of wisdom that the Lord was going to heal him. And so then the gift of faith walked together and in we went and he was healed. When people come up here, as Lance did before the service, with a word of knowledge that some people here are struggling at the moment, the gift of faith often goes hand in hand with that. And so if you had come forward for that time of ministry, you would have seen that word of knowledge be answered. Amen. You know, the gift of faith in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that gift was to witness to the entire kingdom of Babylon. The gifts are always to bring glory and honor to the King of Kings, but they are to be a witness to the believers and non-believers alike. That is why I know that the gifts are to be used, because the non-believers out there, oh my goodness, they see our faith. They see the reality of God in action and they can't help but believe and know that there's a God who is real and that adores them. Amen. Step out in faith. What's the worst that can happen? You know what I mean? Like if you speak to somebody at the shopping centre and you get it wrong. Personally, I bet you haven't got it wrong. It's just the person that's probably a bit too proud to say, actually, yeah, you're right. I have got that pain in my back or my shoulder, whatever. Step out in faith. You can't go wrong. You know, before the borders closed, I was in Sulawesi, Indonesia. I love Indonesia. And I had been asked to go there and do a prophetic conference. I'm comfortable with that. It's what I get sent around the places to do. The Lord said to me, I don't want you to do a prophetic conference. I want you to do a healing service. Okay, I said. Whatever you ask, my Lord. And that I've truly learned that obedience is better than sacrifice. If you take that on board, you can't go wrong. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So we go into Palu. Palu, Indonesia, there is a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of all that sort of nonsense. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen? So we go into this church, and it was a church, it was a fairly large church, a few thousand people, and the walls were lined with people. I have never done a healing service in my life. I wanted to line them up and prophesy because that is what comes naturally to me. But the Lord says, no, healing service, healing service. And I'm walking in there, I'm looking at people, I think, oh, I'd love to pray for that one and that one. He goes, healing service, healing service, healing service. Yes, yes, yes. The gift of faith kicked in. And I knew, and I got up there as bold as a lion. I said, none of you are leaving here today until you are healed. Whoa. I'm like, Lord, I sort of hoping you don't want me to pray for all of them because there was a few thousand people. And he said, it's not about you. Oh, put me back in my box big time. It's not about you. He goes, watch and see what I will do. We saw in Palu, Indonesia, Sulawesi, we saw the Lord heal people of Parkinson's. We saw limbs grow. We saw cancers healed. We saw eyes be formed, like somebody had a glass eye and they had to take it out because it was feeling uncomfortable, and that was because the Lord was growing them a brand new eye. Step out in obedience. You can't go wrong. The Lord is with you, and this is his desire for this end times church. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. That is the gift of faith. I can honestly say to you, it's not something that I walk in that frequently, and that's all about me and not about him. But the Lord says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So step out in faith. The gift of faith is so simple. It's a matter of you know that you know that you know that the Lord has given you his faith for that particular moment. Very different to us walking in faith. Abraham had the gift of faith. Abraham had been promised that he would be the father of the nations, father of many. And there we are looking at him and his beautiful wife who are 100 years old. And he's thinking the same way I would think right now if somebody told me I was going to have a baby. How is that going to happen, Lord? But he didn't think like that. We know his wife did. We know Sarai did, Sarah. Abraham had a resolute faith, and he knew that he'd heard from God. And we know that as that all came to pass, that was accounted to him as righteousness. Do you know you are the Lord's righteousness? Do you know that? Like truly, deeply know that you are the Lord's righteousness. So we're running out of time. I had so much I want to share with you. So the gift of faith overpowers psychology, emotion, and logic. But just very quickly, do you remember when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah? And he said to him, you will have a son. And instantly, Zechariah's unbelief, lack of faith, was evident. And so what did Gabriel do? He muted him. Why? Because his words would have been disastrous. They could have negated the promise that was coming. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? So he had to mute Zechariah. Now, guess what happened to Derek? Do you remember Derek? Yeah. So I drove home, as you know. The doctor Dr. Happy, came back and said to Sam, "We've never seen anything like this before, so we just want to run a few more tests because he's really sick and we're not sure why he's presenting like this, but he's so sick." And so other doctors came in and said, "How can he be like this? Because he's so sick." He planted that seed of doubt in the wife's mind, and she's going, "But if he's so sick, how does he look so good?" And they said, "Let us run all these tests. Let us run all these tests. He's a sick man. We're just not sure what's happening right now for him to be like this." So guess what happened? Derek gets another headache. Derek again starts forgetting who his beautiful wife was, where he was, gets agitated, gets aggressive. Sam gets on the phone to me. "Dee, it's not worked. It's not worked. He was only healed for that short time. He's gone back to the way he was." Oh, I was mad. Got back in the car, drove up the freeway. This time Derek wasn't sedated. He had been secured to the bed, unfortunately, but he wasn't sedated because that was a good thing. So with Dr. Happy here this time, which was good, and his wife, and Dr. Happy's mate standing next to him who are looking, rolling their eyes as the, I mean, God bless the medical profession. Please hear my heart. I respect every nurse and every doctor. They are incredible. They are life-saving. But this particular man, he just needed to see the power of God with his own eyes, right? So I walk back in there, barge my way through. I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, Derek is healed and whole." I did not ask because the Lord had already done it. He did it at Calvary, right? Paid in full, tetelestai. Paid in full. So I didn't go in there and say, "Oh, dear Lord Jesus, please, 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 please." I went in there and I spoke the word of the Lord because I still had zero doubt, zero doubt. And instantly, before their eyes, before everybody's eyes, the Lord Jesus did a creative miracle. And Derek went from vague to sound mind. He went from agitated to peaceful. He went from knowing nothing to knowing that there is a God in heaven who adores him and instantly healed him. I said to my friend, I said, "Take him home. Just take him home. Believe the word of the Lord. This man is healed." If you listen to negative, if you allow words of negative to be spoken over and over again, so shall it be. So she had him discharged. He's at home now, healed and whole. But what do we with our mouths speak against? This is a fantastic church. But there's been words spoken, and that's why I felt to stop and pray and take authority over that, because people are going to look at this church and go, "Oh, look what the Lord has done. His foundations are strong. The Lord is going to do something amazing." We need to be mindful of our words. Life and death are in the tongue. You see, Satan is not made in the image of God. He is a created being. He cannot do anything without your help. So when you speak something negative or something that does not align with the word of God, he can use that. You are made in the image of God. So you can speak life into existence. You can speak things into existence in exactly the same way the Lord did. The enemy cannot. But he can use your words. So it is so important what you speak out. What are you speaking out over your marriage? Your health. It just gets me so frustrated. Well, people come up and I'll say, "What can I pray with you for?" And they go, "Oh, my anxiety." That's not your anxiety. What are you talking about? The Lord said, "Be anxious for nothing."
Be anxious for nothing. You know what the treatment is for anxiety? Repentance. Because he said, be anxious for nothing. When people come and say, oh, my, I don't know, whatever, my cancer, my da-da-da-da, you're claiming ownership of that. That is not yours. That negates everything our wonderful Saviour did upon the cross. And that was to pay in full every single debt we have. People come up to me and say, oh, I need you to pray for my marriage because it's destroyed. Well, it is now because you've just spoken it into being. Watch what you speak over. Speak positive. Speak the word of God over every area of your life. Your finances. Speak it, that you are blessed. Your family, your children, even that person at work that really annoys you like you couldn't believe. But you know you need those people because iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. You need that person that's grating you up the wrong way because they're sharpening you. We can't always have a meeting where everybody's in perfect agreement because iron sharpens iron and everybody brings something different to the table. So this year, as we flip over into 2023, let's make an agreement that we're going to speak what the Lord says and not what our minds say. Amen? Let's speak positives over our church. This is the Lord's church. The Lord is in this church. If you could see the angel that the Lord has planted in here, and this angel has been here since the very time that I came back in here. I've got to add some numbers in my head. I haven't got a brain like Lance. Back in 1974, 75, I was a member of this church where my parents came to this church, and I was, from the moment I was born again, a seer. I didn't ask for it, it's just what the Lord decided to do in me. And I saw the angel of the Lord, and this was the best church then. Nothing has changed. The hand of the Lord is upon her. I remember sitting in some of their meetings, and you know, I'm a lot older than some of you, but you know, there would be Pastor Fred, there'd be Pastor Richard Roy, there would be Trevor Chandler, there'd be some amazing men and women of God that would come in here, and the glory that filled, you would literally see it, eyes open. Didn't need to be a seer, and everybody would be on the floor. The Lord's bringing holiness back to this church. First and foremost, he's going to clean up his church before he sends his church out. You have got a wonderful eldership who have got the best for this church. You've got a wonderful pastor who's sitting here in this front row who wants the best for this church. Will you pray for this church? Will you be faithful in all that you do and full of faith in everything that you speak? Because it is when you are faithful and as you are speaking it out, the Lord will line up with your words and you are speaking life and life in abundance. Enemy comes to steal, kill, and the Lord gives us life and life in abundance. That is what we're going to take away from this. I was supposed to speak solely on the gift of faith. I'm sorry. But I think you understand what the gift of faith is, right? It's having a mustard seed of the Lord's faith. And when that comes upon you in the same way, when you feel to step out and prophesy, you know that you know that you know. Zero doubt. It's a supernatural, because the Lord is naturally super and supernatural. And it is a knowing that the hand of the Lord is upon you. And if he says it's going to happen, nothing, no demon in hell, no government, no power, no principality can stop it. Amen? Amen. All right. I've gone over by 5 minutes. There's a few people I'd love to pray for in here today, and I know our time is limited. I know our time is limited. But I know that some of you, as Lance pointed out earlier, you've had a tough week and you've had words spoken against you, but the Lord wants you to know that you are in the hand of the blacksmith right now. And it's a good place to be, because coming out of that place, you will know that you've been fortified and strengthened and the blood of Jesus is upon you and no weapon formed against you will prosper. There's those people I want to pray for. There's also some of you, and I'm not going to ask you to come out separately, so nobody's going to know. Only you and the Lord will know which category you fall in. There's some of you that you've lost your first love. You know, the Lord says, come boldly to the throne. And you know what that throne is? It's the throne of first love. Every day, as I wait upon the Lord, and I shared last time how the Lord gets me up really kind of early to spend time with him. And I love it, because it's almost like I'm the only person in the world awake spending time with him. But it is in that place of intimacy. It's in that place of union where he shares his plans with me for the day. I don't watch the TV. I don't watch the news, because the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. And so every day he gives me his plans. One very last story, and I promise we'll finish. As you know, I'm a pastor, but I'm also the state director of street chaplains. And my street chaplains, every single one of them are superheroes. Is there any street chaplains here today? Yes, there's one here in the congregation. Every single one of them are superheroes. But this ministry is based on the Word of God. It is based on the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So every time our chaplains go out, they are covered in prayer. We have a supervisor, an intercessor that is on call all weekend, praying. And we believe and we stand on the Word of God. Just recently, it was a very big night in Northbridge, a very big night. And as my chaplains were out there, they had been called by the police. Bearing in mind, we stand with the Word of God. And the police called them and said, come and help this young fellow. He'd had a few too many sherries. So as they got there to this young man, he'd stopped breathing. He was actually dead. The Lord said to us years ago, 15 years this ministry has been going now, nobody dies on our patrol. We stand upon that promise. Our chaplains got on the floor and started doing CPR using a defibrillator that we carry. Behind them, a fight broke out. I know I'm not selling this well to you about wanting to join us, but it was a fight like you couldn't believe. It was a fight so bad the police horse got knocked over. Okay, chaplains are still on the floor doing CPR in the middle of James Street, Northbridge, defibrillator. But my Lord says nobody will die on this ministry, nobody. And the people that started this ministry 15 years ago, they had the gift of faith and a mighty, mighty men of God who I honour so much. And so we had people praying. We were praying. This person was on the floor. This is a young man. He's 22 years of age. Just taken things that he shouldn't have. His heart just packed in. So we're praying. CPR, defibrillator, and boom, this man gets restored to life. He's restored to life. He was dead. And in the middle of James Street, Northridge, he was restored to life because we stood on the promises of God. And this church needs to stand on the promises of God, the foundations that were set years ago, because the Lord does not change his mind. And that is to build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. The last category I want to pray for. Some of you have had the most incredible prophetic words over your life. And you're saying, Lord, when? You haven't given up on them. You haven't negated them. You haven't spoken against them. But you're getting a bit like, when, Lord, when? When, Lord, when? They're the other people I want to pray for this morning. So as I hand back to Lance, how do you call yourself?
as I hand back to Lance, I'd love you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you. But if you remember anything from today, your faith can move mountains when it is aligned with the faith of God. But your faithfulness, and when you are full of faith, you can go out there and you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead, you can do whatever the Lord tells you to, because it is all about Him and not about us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lance.